Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Krista Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. We are. And today. Because we are out of our depth on this letter, We have invited back a crowd favorite, Dr. Khaleesi.
And so Dr. Khaleesi's formal title is Dr. Khaleesi, not her real name, the unfazed breaker of bad habits, queen of the feels, mother of sons.
Mother of sons. And while Dr. Khaleesi, that's not her real name, she does have a real PhD.
Which was important for this letter.
Why we bring her here. So, Joss, why don't you read this week's letter and just little warning, this is a letter about eating disorders.
Right. Okay. I moved in with a good friend, Layla, not her real name, in June. She is a great roommate, conscientious, generous, always listens after a hard day. There is, as you might guess, a problem. Layla has an eating disorder. I knew that she'd had some body image issues in the past. She regularly turned away food, including nutritious food, under the guise of clean eating. So I have long suspected a history of ED, though I had nothing to confirm it until now. In March, we signed a lease for a place, just us. She was in the beginning of the end of her relationship with this awful guy. In April, she disclosed that she lost 15 pounds from the stress. By May, they were really reaching the end of the road and she looked terrible. We moved in and she went off to the West Coast for the summer. She posted pictures where she looked skeletal. It made me want to vomit. The way her limbs looked like pictures of starving children in developing countries that are taking to make us hate ourselves. When she came back in August, she had broken up with the boy. She was thin to begin with, but now she was emaciated. She told me she'd gone vegan, except for eggs. I get home later than her, so she would say that she'd already eaten when asked if she wanted any of my food. I started offering to cook for the two of us. I enjoy cooking and baking for others, so this wasn't out of the ordinary. She occasionally accepted, then would eat some of the veggies and go to her room. It's so awkward to talk about weight. Our culture has convinced us that thin is the highest compliment. I'm trying really hard not to alienate her. I've suggested therapy about the boy, figuring that their relationship must have unlocked or at least contributed to the feelings that have led to this. A few of our mutual friends have reached out to me to say how scarily thin she looks. Our bathroom trash can is filled with fallen out hair. Heartbreaking. Her sister in another state and I are in talks. Layla doesn't know. She told me that she isn't speaking to her family because they do not approve of her lifestyle. Her sister says that Layla cut them off after they tried to stage an intervention. I don't know what to do. I'm not a doctor, but she is dangerously underweight. I don't regret living with her, and she remains a supportive friend. What do I do next? I'm scared that I'm sitting back and watching her die. Much love, concerned roommate. That's so tough.
That's a tough situation. I just want to interject one little thing, and then we can let Dr. Khaleesi address this. Those pictures of starving children aren't taken to make us hate ourselves. They're taken so that we're aware of conditions in developing nations where children are starving. So,
yes.
And go ahead, Dr. Khaleesi. There's a lot here.
There is a lot. And one of the things that's scary is that the roommate doesn't really have any control over this. Who is our writer?
Concerned roommate.
Oh, concerned roommate. Okay. So roommate has a difficult problem because she already knows that Layla will cut people off that call her out on it. She's not in control of what her what Layla is doing. And Layla isn't being open or honest about it with her either. So she's in a really, really hard position where it's like, where she's watching a train wreck happen, basically. But Layla can't and won't see it. And I think one of the things that's really difficult is that the roommate is feeling sad and scared and stuck. But she's not able to really talk about it with Layla in a way that's doesn't seem, I guess, accusatory. So my first thought is that roommate absolutely needs to have her own support system around it.
Yeah.
Because it seems like even though Layla might be very small, the roommate is carrying a lot of Layla's weight in terms of her psychological weight. Mm. So first thing I would say is that you can't make Layla go to therapy, but you definitely need a support system. And that might include talking to a therapist or, talking to your other friends. The other hard piece of it is that roommate is talking around Layla, but not really talking to her. And I think one of the things that we can do is, and this is in any relationship with anybody ever, but we're allowed to have our own feelings. We can't make other people do what we want to do. We can't control what other people do, but we can say, hey, I'm really worried about this. When I see you getting thinner and thinner, I'm afraid for you. And the roommate can do that. And I don't think that's the thing that would alienate Layla, but
go ahead, Dr. Kuz.
No, I was actually stuck.
I did a little research on this and have family members who have struggled with this kind of eating disorder, to the point where, they've been hospitalized against their will. But I do want to reiterate, concerned Rumi, your love and concern are not going to cure her. And you don't have the magic sentence that will make her see just how bad this is.
Yeah.
So that's just one thing to hold in front, that no matter how scared you are, she's only going to start getting better when she decides to start getting better.
I think that's brilliant to say that. Yes, absolutely. Go ahead. Do you have more?
And I, in my reading, I came on with, also you don't have to pretend this isn't happening. Right. One of the recommendations was to make time for this intimate conversation between the two of you, in a place where she feels safe, and private. And you don't have to be her diagnostician. You don't have to say anything other than, I value our friendship. I miss us going out to get pizza together or when we ate together here in the apartment. I know how hard the breakup was for you, and I'm concerned. I'm worried. What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. So that you're really in a conversation with her. Dr. Kleese, what's the typical response of someone with an eating disorder when you say, I'm worried about your eating disorder?
Well, I mean, it depends on how entrenched the person is, but a lot of times it's, it can be a feeling of control. It's that you can control your weight. You can control what you eat, at a time when people feel out of control. I think the odds are fairly good that, that Layla will say, oh, you don't have to worry. I've got it under control. I'm doing fine. I'm eating a lot. You just don't see me when I eat, that kind of thing. But so that doesn't
lying in denial.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, just as a, like an aside, I did, when I was in my, internship for my pre-doctoral internship, I worked on an eating disorders unit, for a short rotation, only like 8 weeks. But during that time I gained 4 or 5 pounds because it was sort of like, I wanted to eat for them. And yeah. I think that's something that, like, emotionally the roommate is carrying all this. talking to her family, talking to her other friends. And it's kind of been the, like, almost like the roommate has been taking all this in from everybody else and is trying to be the one that can hold it all. And that's just not a good job to have.
Yeah. It's more than one person can deal with.
Right.
And one of the other bits of advice I found on some of the eating disorder websites are to, you know, if you're going to stay in this lease with her and you don't think she's going to change, you might start to point out all the things that you like about her, her qualities. You know, you can say things like, oh, you always say the right thing, Layla. I really appreciate that about you. You're such a good listener. You mentioned how supportive she is. You can say, I love your taste in TV shows, or that color looks so pretty on you. So that she's hearing things other than you're too thin, I'm worried about you, you're too thin.
Right.
And also saying that she's too thin is exactly what she wants to hear. She wants to be too thin. That's why she's in this terrible relationship with food.
Right. And I think that's really critical to look at, is that eating and body image and weight can become so tied into what society says. Like there's the saying, you can never be too rich or too thin. That's not true. You can be too thin. but there are also things that go along with malnutrition at this point, at the point where she's losing hair. There's other psychological effects that are happening as well, where she's, you know, not as likely to be able to listen to you saying in a rational kind of way, like, hey, you know, what is your end goal here? When will you be thin enough? What do you think? And she may not be in a place where she can hear that. She would only really hear that people are talking about me and not talking to me, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that you also, like, if she passes out and you have to call 911, if you go to the ER, the doctor might say, like, okay, so you're way too thin and you should gain, you know, 15 pounds. And that's the end of the discussion about the eating disorder. So that she really needs to see somebody who's an MD who treats eating disorders, because there will be all these things going wrong with her. If her hair is falling out, we can assume that she's very nutritionally deprived, right? You know,
she may not have her periods anymore. She, you know, might have some hormonal changes that go along with it.
Yeah, she might be having liver failure because she's getting so thin. So again, this is a lot for you, roommate. You don't have to be the one, like, following her around wondering if she's going to pass out or if her liver is failing, you know, but you live together. And I don't know, Dr. Clesi, I wanted to ask you,
yeah,
as a roommate, can concerned roomies say, look, we're roommates and this is not acceptable to me, like having you, having you vomiting in the bathroom, and you can't do that. Is that anything that she can kind of like make some boundaries on?
Yeah, I don't think so, because it really is Layla's problem. Yeah. It's not roommate's problem. And part of the difficulty is that the roommate is now putting herself in a position where she's almost more parental to Layla. And I don't think that's helpful to the roommate, and I don't think it's helpful to Layla. What I would say is that conversations are really important, and sometimes people think that they have to confront somebody. And I would say, rather than thinking of it as a confrontation, I would say make it a part of a conversation. Especially at a time, not like, Layla, we need to have a sit down and talk about your weight.
Right.
She's gonna like, no.
She's very busy.
Right. And the roommate can't say, like, unless it's like your hair is getting all over the place, you know, that's disgusting kind of thing. But, you know, she really can't say, it is hard for me to, that you have to eat more food in order for me to continue to be your roommate. But you can't do that.
Yeah.
She might want to.
You know, this is one of the things that I was thinking about, because Concerned Roomie has asked us for help on how to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And the sad truth is, you know, you really can't cure your friend. And so are you going to, are you able to live with an anorexic who is getting smaller and smaller and looks less and less healthy with each passing day? You know, you don't have to live with her.
Right.
This is too painful for you. You get to leave.
Right. And I think that's really important. We all have the three of us have had a friend that was extremely self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a very painful thing to see the consequences of that. And, you know, each of us had to kind of figure out where we were going to be in that relationship, but it's very, very difficult. It's in some ways like living with someone who has, you know, an addiction, and the cycle can be kind of similar in a way. I think the things that she can confront with her roommate is, you know, I need you to be honest, you know, in this relationship. And that may be one thing that she can address in that way.
It's notable that anorexics are very secretive. So she might say, of course, but she may not tell you.
Right.
That, you know, this morning I ate a third of a carrot and that's all I've had to eat today. Lying about what you're eating is part of anorexia. It is it's a physical disorder, but it's also a mental disorder. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And part of it is a distorted body image. So, you know, where you're seeing skin and bones, when she's looking at herself, she may see like, oh, there's still a little fat over here. You know, so what Layla is seeing is really, really different. It's like she doesn't see her body at all in the same way. What Layla probably focuses on is like, wow, my elbow is a little chubby, you know, over here. Whereas the roommate is seeing like, I shouldn't be able to see all your bones. That's not right.
Or even saying like, I love how my collarbones look. Layla might be looking in the mirror and saying, I'm finally getting to a point where I like this, my skinny little arms and that kind of thing. So,
but there is no good enough.
Right.
In it. And I think that's the difficulty, is that, you know, the perception is still, you know, that it's not thin enough.
Right.
So it's not like Layla would be like, okay, when I get to like, you know, 1% body fat, that will be good.
Right. Right.
It isn't like that. It's almost like it's like being in a fun house, you know, and except, you know, not fun.
Yeah. Not fun.
And seeing really, really distorted image. And I think that's one difficulty, is that Layla and her roommate's perception of how Layla looks are very markedly different.
Yeah. Right. I do also want to say, if she starts talking incoherently, if she faints, if she's unresponsive, call 911 right away. That's not in your wheelhouse to take care of her if something like that happens. Even if she says like, please don't call 911. It was just, I was just a little lightheaded or something like that. You can't take that responsibility on.
Right.
There is help for you, Concerned Roomie. The National Eating Disorder Association has a hotline. It's pretty much during business hours. And that number is 800-931-2237. Again, the National Eating Disorder Association, NEDA, 800-931-2237. And they have sections there on the website that are for people like you, friends, relatives, who are sitting by and watching helplessly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's groups for you. And I think, you know, this is just going to be very hard. Anorexia is something that I've heard stays with you. You can recover from it. You can, right. But you never forget those urges and those thoughts. You can work around them, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot of time and effort. And, you know, I think it might be helpful for Layla to hear, like, a lot of people have this problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people in your shoes. I think you can keep saying, I really care about you. I want you to be healthy. And if right. you don't talk about this now, maybe we can pick it up later. Right. And focus on the health. Like, I'm yeah. worried about you. You look sick, tired, you know, the whites of your eyes are yellow. You know, right. don't say you look too thin.
Right.
Or you're too skinny. And so many people will say, like, just eat a cookie. And, you know, it's like a joke almost.
Yeah. And
that's not helpful.
The other thing for roommate is watch your own body image too, because sometimes living with someone who is getting thinner and thinner and thinner, not that it's contagious, but with so much focus on body size, you know, roommate needs to be careful that she doesn't develop an unhealthy relationship with her own body. So to keep in, you know, as part of self-care for the roommate, to be really thinking about, like, I like my body to be healthy. I like my body the way it is. My body is very strong, that kind of thing, so that she doesn't get kind of pulled into that
thought spiral. Feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it.
I also read, you know, like, keep eating in front of her, if that's what you've yeah. always done. Invite her to go out. If you guys are going out for ice cream, say, do you want to come? We're going to go get ice cream. And she'll probably say no, or she'll go and she'll pretend to eat an ice cream. But she'll know that you want to include her in normal activities, and she can, you know, she can see, like, people enjoy going out for food. And I miss that, maybe. And it will just maybe start to shine the light on her problem. So that she starts to say, ooh, maybe I need to do something here.
Right. I think another big part of that is doing the I love you and kind of thing. You know, like, not making the focus of the relationship her mental illness, but, you know, being able to talk about the relationship as it is. Like, you know, like you were saying earlier, the I love that sweater on you, but to, I think, sort of focus and emphasize the parts of the relationships that are good and healthy, because roommate really, this problem needs to be solved by Layla and other professionals. And the roommate is not a mental health professional. And what she should know is that for those of us that are mental health professionals, eating disorders are still hard.
Yeah.
It's a difficult illness to treat. And sometimes it does come down to a hospitalization and you know, if she does pass out, people should be giving her some referrals or references, but roommate can't hold all of this. She can't hold her anxiety plus Layla's sister's anxiety plus, you know, all the other people. I think roommate needs to set some boundaries around that too. Yes, we're all worried, but I need to concentrate on sort of my life and my relationships and everything else that's going on for the roommate. It seems like this has become consuming, where everybody else is participating, but not Layla.
Right. I think, what do you think about talking about it with other friends in their group, Dr. Khaleesi?
Oh,
is that okay? Can roommates say, you know, I'm sure you've noticed, Sarah, how skinny Layla is getting. I'm very concerned. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should be able to say something yeah. about that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's also roommate's friend network.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying she should set a boundary around that. I'm just saying she should set a boundary around kind of knowing how it seems like people are looking to roommate to have the answers and she doesn't have them.
Right. Right.
So I think conversation, yes, roommate should say, yeah, me too. You know, I'm really worried about her.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, hey, if you're really worried about her, maybe you could tell her that you're worried about her instead of expecting, because right. I think roommate is right now kind of like the conduit for it, for everybody else.
Yeah. I think it's very concerning that the family staged an intervention, and so Layla has cut them off.
Right.
You know, this is one of those addictions, I guess, where, you know, like children of alcoholics say, why wasn't I enough? So mom stopped drinking. You know, it's not that easy. It's not just a matter of eating a few hundred more calories a day. It's she's right. only going to do it when she wants to get right. better. I think the odds are high that she will get better, Dr. Khaleesi.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, I mean, right now, the other thing I was kind of thinking about is maybe because she's talking about sort of a vegan lifestyle or, you know, eating clean and all those things is partly as cover. Mm-hmm. But a nutritionist might be a start for Layla if she's resistant to going to a mental health professional. Perhaps she would be interested in talking to a nutritionist. That might be a suggestion that she might take more easily.
I think no young woman wants to have her hair falling out.
Right.
And, you know, for Layla, it might be that's the price I pay for these bony elbows that I love. But I would think that maybe that's a starting point is, you know, hey, I read that sometimes when you lose your hair, it's because you have a nutritional deficiency. And I know you don't eat a lot and you're going vegan and stuff, but maybe you should see a nutritionist and make sure that what you are eating is nourishing you.
Right.
But I, you know, again, this is a very secretive disease. And I know this from my two relatives who've gone through it.
Right.
And a friend who also had it. It's a secret. They think it's a secret. They think they can fool you by saying it's vegan or I ate before you came home. Or they can eat, you know, 12 chocolate chip cookies and then go in the bathroom and you hear the toilet flushing three times because they just vomited them that up. You know, it is very hard to get the truth out of someone with an addiction when they are protecting their addiction.
Right.
And
and I guess that's the other thing, like, as I'm thinking about it from the roommate's point of view, it is horrifically sad to see someone self-destructing.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible, helpless feeling to know that you can't help them, especially when they're not taking the steps to help themselves.
Yeah.
And I think for the roommate, you know, it's going to be really important to have other things outside of Layla, you know, because she said she's a great friend and a good roommate and thoughtful and so on. And I would say, you know, to focus on those things, have conversations, not confrontations, about how it is. Layla can't really cut off her roommate, which is good. But on the other hand, you know, Layla could certainly shut down. And I think that's one of the things that roommates seem to be anxious about was what if I talk to her and then she cuts me off?
I would say that the chances are high that she will cut you off at some point, because you know too much and she can justify staying in her anorexia by saying, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand. I'm fine.
Right.
You know, so, she'll protect that, the addiction to hunger, I guess, and being thin, she'll protect that before she'll protect you at this point. And
yeah. I want to just for a second interrupt a little bit because sure. it's Layla is trapped in this as much as the roommate is, more than the roommate is.
Oh God, yes.
Not necessarily that she doesn't feel hunger or that she doesn't. A lot of it is about trying to control one thing when the rest of the world feels very out of control. Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, with the boyfriend gone, finally gone, you know, maybe she can start to build up a little bit, you know, at a time, but also to talk about things in terms, as you said, in terms of health and sort of activity levels. Like it's great to see you. I was kind of worried. Last night we went for a walk and you seemed out of breath pretty easily, you know, and I was worried about that.
Yeah.
Period. Leave it alone. Then not say like, and you need to eat or I'm going to leave. I'm not.
Here's six scrambled eggs with cheese. Yeah.
Right.
Plessy, what about, I'm thinking for both the roommate, when you said, you know, concerned roommate, you need to watch out for your own body image. I'm just thinking like, would going to a yoga class help like to appreciate your physicality a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the more that we do where we interact with our body in a positive way, the better, you know, and that can be as simple as like, you know, getting a nice hand cream or, you know, joining a yoga class for sure. Or, you know, but it can't be things that are forced on Layla. It has to be invitations.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have to be very mild, I would think, because you don't want to say like, do you want to start training for a marathon, Layla?
Right. Yeah. No.
She'll pass out in three strides, you know. It's a very tough situation, Rumi. And I really feel for you. And I do want to reiterate that you're a very compassionate, lovely person, and you'll do what you can for Layla, but what you can do is very little. And if it gets to be too much for you, you can leave. You being her roommate is not saving her, or, you know, if you move out, that's not going to be the reason she fails. It's all on her to make these changes.
Right.
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I have a question. I know that the roommate said they started living together this past March. I'm assuming the lease is up in March again. And if she wants to leave, concerned roommate, what does she say without feeling like she's abandoning this person, which is what I would feel. I would feel like being with her is me making sure I'm like on this watch to make sure that she lives, and I can't leave because I'm on this watch. And if I leave, who knows what'll happen? So, I mean, if the roommate, you say the roommate should be able to leave and she should say that she wants to leave, but what can she say? What is she supposed to say at that point? They sound very young, by the way. They sound college age. Speaking of like summer and coming back in the fall and things like that. So they sound very young. Yeah. She might just need the words. This March, when the lease is up, she might need some words to be able to say, you know, the lease is up, and then what? Then what does she say?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on whether or not roommate wants to, but I think the sentence that you said that really clicked with me is that, like, right now roommate is in a position where she feels like she can't leave because of the eating disorder. That means she's enmeshed in it. Mm-hmm. And she needs to not be enmeshed in it, because she needs to recognize that Layla's problem is Layla's problem, and that it is okay, absolutely 100% okay, for the roommate to say, you know, I need to save myself right now.
Yeah.
So if the lease comes up and she decides she doesn't want to continue to live with the roommate, she has a lot of choices. I guess if she found a different place to live, she could say, you know, I found this other place and it's cheaper and I'm moving there, and, you know, not really directly address it. But if she does feel like she needs to address it more directly, I think, you know, coming back to the I feel statements, mm-hmm. You know, when I see you losing weight, I feel really anxious, and I, you know, as much as I love you, I don't know that I can be here and see you, you know, see you
so unhealthy.
I mean, so unhealthy. And it hurts me, and I need to be apart from that. I love you. I'll always love you. I want you in my life, but it's been very difficult for me to watch you be so sick.
Yeah. And again, using sick, so unhealthy.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if sick is the right word. I kind of was like, I'm not sure about that word, but
I mean, I think it is a sickness, just like schizophrenia is a sickness, and, you know, alcohol abuse disorder, you know, you hear if you read memoirs about getting sober or you know, listen to different stories, you always hear people who are trying to get sober, who are in recovery, saying, I lost my marriage. I lost my job. My kids don't speak to me. You know, I was in 17 car accidents. So I just want to reiterate that you don't have the power to fix her. Right. That you can do a couple of things that might make a little difference in that day, that hour, that minute that you say something nice about her personality or something, but you staying there is not going to save her. You leaving her is not going to drive her to suicide. It's all inside her.
Right.
And you're allowed to step back from this and say, this is not our problem. It's her problem.
Right.
I'm a witness to it. And I'll, you know, for now I will do what I can to be supportive and kind, but it's not your job. Right. You have to look after yourself. You know, it does sound like the breakup triggered this. You say she was thin to begin with. I don't know how much a one event will trigger
a spiral. Yeah, it can. Some of the, you know, one of the issues that comes up too is kind of a codependency that can happen too, where the sort of everything in roommate's life starts to become about Layla's health, Layla's weight, you know, all that. And I really want to kind of push even further on that idea of you're a separate person and kind of come back to the idea that the roommate really, really needs to look after her own health. You know, she needs to be careful about her own relationship with her body. So whether Layla does it or not, eating healthy food and going to a nutritionist and getting, you know, the right amount of exercise, I think all that will be helpful for the roommate mentally as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to keep saying, like, this is not, that's Layla's issue. Even with friends that talk to the roommate, you know, maybe just say like, yeah, me too. Why don't you talk to her yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, rather than feeling like they have to be the ringmaster of this.
Right. Right. And I mean, I think it's very easy to think I'm the one who's closest to her. I can't leave her. She's a wreck. Look at her. And then you know, years pass and you're still in the same place. It does right. become sometimes that codependency game almost. But yeah, try to talk about things that don't involve her health. You know, do say those things. Oh, you're such a great listener. Oh, you recommended that TV show and I loved it. You have the best taste. Find right. things to remind her that she is not just that body.
Right. And not just to remind her, but to, you know, for roommate to remind herself.
Yeah.
That Layla is more than her eating disorder.
Right. Right. You know,
there's other things too, but back to you, Jet. I don't have the exact right words. I don't know that there is a.
I think you did a good job, Dr. Khaleesi. Say, like, I know that you are struggling with this health issue, and it's very difficult for me to watch this continue.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned for you, but I can't be witness to this. I mean, I would say that. I cannot sit back and watch you kill yourself by starvation. Yeah. But that's not gonna change anything for Layla. It might. Those are very bald words, you know.
Right.
It have some shock value, but that's the truth too.
Yeah, and I do think the truth can be said in softer words too, like. You know, I'm not going to say, why don't you kill yourself? You might want to soften that up a little bit to maintain the relationship. Although it's true, you can get there. You can still get there and make that point, but maybe again, make sure that you're having a conversation rather than a confrontation to be, you know, sharing your feelings, but not making her, I mean, Layla's not responsible for the roommate's feelings either.
Right, right.
You know, the roommate still is responsible for her own feelings. So
yeah,
she has
to. Layla might be saying, like, I didn't ask you to care about how much I eat.
Right.
And I will make sure I clean out the trash so you don't have to look at my hair, if that's
right.
the problem. You know, there is often a very evasive response. I'm known for being blunt. Sometimes it's my best quality and sometimes it's not so great. Poor Dr. Khaleesi. She has a list as long as my arm. Times Kristen was blunt. Rumi, I just want to say that if you decide to get counseling, you might look for someone who has knowledge of eating disorders too. So that if you bring this up, you know, my roommate has anorexia and it's very difficult for me, that she understands the disease as thoroughly as possible.
And there are specialized in it. It's a difficult field, but there are people who are really very, very qualified to speak to it. So
yeah,
it's worth thumbing through the profiles of people, you know, to make sure that you're getting someone that has some information about that.
Yeah. And once again, the National Eating Disorder Association, you can call or text 800-931-2237. Dr. Khaleesi, thank you so much for weighing in on this difficult problem.
Yeah. I wish the room all the best.
Yeah, we all do. I hope it goes well, and always feel free to write back and update us.
Yeah, I'll post the 800 number on the website too, so you'll have it.
Yeah, and on our Facebook page as well. That would be great.
So you'll have it.
All right. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends forever.